This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Annuity Straight Talk podcast, episode number 77. My name is Brian Anderson, founder and creator. For those of you who are new, Annuity Straight Talk was created in late 2008 online, and I've been researching and working and devising strategies all that time, just past my 20th year landmark in the business. Since that time of being online, I've been under a lot of pressure to justify what I recommend, and I think the consensus would agree with my mission that it is the place to find honesty and transparency in the annuity business. It is not for everyone, but for those who are suited for annuity solutions in retirement, you will find all the options here at Annuity Straight Talk, and you will be given the ability to analyze those options so you can find which one is best for you. That is the goal. Today, I'm coming at you again. This is the second time I recorded this one because my video didn't match up with the audio the first time. And so I'm hoping I can get this out for the majority of people who are going to see it again soon. I guess none of that really matters to you guys. So I want what I'm talking about to match up with what you see on the screen for those who watch the video. So going after a popular guy in the financial services business today, and I guess I'm not really going after him. I don't have a bone to pick. I'm going to show you why I'm right, and he's not. So everybody's heard of Fisher Investments, very popular investment firm. Have mentioned it a lot on the podcast, and I want to remind everyone that it's not me versus them, my firm versus their firm. I am a very small player in this industry. They control 160 some billion in assets. So if their average client had 1.6 million, that'd be a million of them. They have lots and lots of people, whereas I've sold annuities to a few hundred people over time. It's not even close. But I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see what I'm looking at. What's interesting is, as you guys, for those who don't really know, I'm sure most of you would understand that in this business, we're constantly trying to change and update and make sure when you're online advertising, there are styles that kind of come in and out over time. If you guys would have seen Annuity Straight Talk 13, 14 years ago, it would look archaic and clunky, but it was kind of about what we had online 13, 14 years ago. And over time, we've given it different themes and, you know, brushed it up and changed the colors a little bit. So it looks new, kind of like an old car, you know, you got to polish it every now and then to make sure it still looks good. Anyway, so a couple of guys that are working with me now are doing a lot of the stuff on the website that I don't really have time to do. And we were in a meeting a few weeks ago, and he pulled up this page and he said, "What do you think of this?" And now I didn't understand the context of why he's asking. It turned out that he was asking, "What do you think of the layout and how this page is designed?" What is common when I hire people to help me with this is they're really good at, these guys are really good at web design and SEO, you know, getting it out in the search engines and stuff, but they don't have a background in annuities, so they don't understand the context of everything. So I'm looking at it, he says, "What do you think of this?" And it's, of course, it's Fisher Investments. "Can a fixed index annuity help you enjoy a comfortable retirement?" Now, these guys, you know, Fisher has, they got a giant budget, and so they're probably all on the cutting edge, and they probably have an entire team of people that work on the website constantly. But I didn't know the context. I said, "Well, in what context do you want to know what I think?" Of course, he was talking about the layout and the page. And of course, you look at it, it's a clean page. They got a nice active couple, handsome older couple hiking, obviously enjoying retirement, right? And so we were talking about, and then we kind of left it at that, but I looked at this and I kept the page up and I thought, I wonder what he has to say. So we're going to look at what he does say, and I'm going to tell you what's good, what's bad, what's misleading about all of that, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see, like, this is what you'd get if he's coming to you. Now, the problem I have with this is there's some misleading stuff in here. There's certainly some selective editing of facts that were maybe, like, they're presented as being generally correct when in actuality, they're very specific to one different part of annuities in general. So can fixed index annuities enjoy a comfortable retirement? Contact Fisher Investments to see if an annuity is right for you. How often do you suppose that they came, oh yeah, you got all the money and all this stuff. No, yeah, definitely go get an annuity. You don't need us. Sure, it's real unbiased, right? So you worked hard to save for retirement. An annuity may be an appealing, steady source of income, but are annuities your best choice? If you're considering an annuity as part of a 500,000 plus portfolio, Fisher Investments can help you evaluate the pros and cons to decide if investing in annuities is right for you. So again, do you think you're going to get an unbiased evaluation of the pros and cons to decide if it's right for you? I have that question, and somehow I doubt that they send people away to buy annuities. But you be the judge. Okay, so they kind of talk about annuities a little bit. Simple type of annuity is a fixed annuity. Compared to variable annuities, deposit your money into sub-accounts invested in the stock market. These investments can return more market-like returns, but come with risks similar to the market. Many other types of annuities exist, each with its own pros and cons. Okay, so pretty good synopsis of what annuities do. Fixed index annuities contain features of both fixed and variable annuities, offer investors a return based on changes of a specific market benchmark. I think he's got a typo there, but while your broker may be waving them around as a possibility, be careful where you tread. Fixed index annuities might sound better on paper than in practice, so make sure you know about their pros and cons before you invest. So I take these one at a time, and I've got a newsletter. I'm going to talk about this specifically. And these are the things that he talks about being the negative parts of index annuities. So lack of liquidity, lack of access to your money is a common issue with most annuities. Fixed index annuities and other annuities often come with withdrawal limits that make it very difficult to extract your money if needed to access before the contract is annuitized. Number one, the contract doesn't have to be annuitized. You don't have to do that with a deferred contract. Number two, I think, I don't know, several newsletters, several podcasts, a lot of the information on the Annuity Straight Talk have debunked the liquidity issue with annuities. If you've got a 10% free withdrawal in a contract, that is more than you need in an average. If you've got a portfolio that's set up well for retirement, a 10% rebalancing or shift in that portfolio on an annual basis is anything more than that, it means you probably had a bad plan or you're too short term when you should keep the long-term perspective in the forefront. So liquidity is not really an issue. And obviously Fisher Investments isn't like promoting all the ways that you can take money out. They want you to sit it there and lock it in for the long time. Okay. So lack of liquidity, that's a matter of opinion. And again, it's one of the reasons why I'll say they're talking about purely investments in the long run. I'm talking about retirement planning. The two do not mix. That's why I cannot say he's wrong, but he's wrong to put fixed index annuities in this light. Obviously, if the contract works for you, you like the benefits of it, the liquidity has to be part of those benefits. But so long as it's structured correctly, that is not an issue. And you shouldn't be moving around 10% of your portfolio. If you need more than 10% to live comfortably, then you haven't saved enough. Okay, number two, fees. Another factor holding back growth in fixed index annuities is fees, which are often charged as a percentage of the assets in an annuity. That is completely false. I've said this in many places as well. Baseline fixed and fixed index annuities do not have fees. They're spread products. So if you get one that's built for accumulation, they're not just for income planning. If you get a contract that you want to protect some money and you want to grow it over time with a fixed or an indexed account, there are no fees for that because the insurance company, they take your money, they buy bonds, and they pull a spread off of that. And then what's left goes into your annuity. There are no fees on the base contract. Fees only come when you add an additional benefit to that. So I like the protection, I like the growth potential, and I also want guaranteed lifetime income. Well, then you're going to have to pay a fee. If you want a projected death benefit, some addition to what the contract, some people do death benefit, long-term care riders, those extra things, you pay a fee because it's a benefit that goes on top of just the basic annuity. So it is incorrect to say that all annuities have fees because most do not. Those are benefits. You pay a fee for a benefit that you want to add to a contract. Now, I will admit that there are a lot of agents and advisors that only show you the contracts with all those benefits because those are the things that kind of sweeten the deal and entice you, the bonuses and all that stuff. Guaranteed income for life. A lot of people only sell the fee-based contracts. But there's ways to do all of those things without fees. And the basic use of annuities, they do not have fees. I don't know if they still do this, but they used to advertise that if you are stuck in an annuity and you want to move to Fisher Investments, they will pay your surrender fees. I ran into a handful of people that took him up on the offer, but when they did, they had to sign a contract that we'll pay your surrender fees, but you have to keep your money here for X amount of time or you're going to have to pay us back. That sure sounds like a surrender fee to me. So understand that if you're paying a fee in an annuity, it's giving you a benefit that you can get nowhere else besides an insurance company, not Fisher Investments or any other investment manager. Now, Fisher has income portfolios. They're probably sitting in treasuries, bonds, dividend paying stocks. They have income portfolios. I'd almost bet my last dollar that an annuity is going to produce higher income. It is proven. You're going to get the highest amount of income for the money you put in. And again, it's a balance. It's not one or the other. It's both. So I'm not saying he's wrong. This just isn't his department, but he's sticking his nose into it anyway. So a couple of like surrender fees, August 15th, 2020, I did a newsletter and a podcast. Surrender fees are not a big deal. Podcast episode 14, I talked about like a 10-year index annuity. It's not guaranteed to grow. It's just 10 years, right? And if it doesn't ever grow, you're guaranteed not to lose principal. If you maximize a 10% free withdrawal every single year over that 10-year period until you're completely surrender free, you would have pulled out 68% of your money. That's an incredible benefit. And no investment manager starts a long-term management contract by saying, yeah, let's assume you can take 68. But I'll say it right now. If you don't like it, start draining that thing and you're going to get most of it back anyway. If your portfolio requires that type of change in the first 10 years of retirement, then you're not capitalized properly or you have a bad plan. Okay. So fees and surrender fees. So the newsletter for fees is I have June 26, 2020, I wrote a newsletter. I thought I had a podcast. So there will be one that comes out. There's a newsletter way back when. So we're almost 3 years ago, all about annuity fees. It explains why they're there, where they come from, and why they're an option for most people if you do the right amount of research. Okay. Now, the best part of this is yet to come for anybody who's waiting for the really good stuff. Back on his page, is a fixed index annuity right for you? Okay. So he takes this chart, which I love. It's on the newsletter. I made a copy of it and put it there. But he's got $100,000 being invested in, it looks like 1998. It's not specific, but it's about 1998 to 2020. He's got the S&P 500. Anybody just listening, S&P 500 total return. That's the S&P plus dividend, the return plus dividends. U.S. Treasury 7 to 10 year total return index, okay? So that's coupon interest from the treasuries plus increases in value because we're in a declining interest rate environment. I'll explain that in just a second. And a hypothetical index annuity. None of this is specific. Typically, when you do these mountain charts, you need to, there's some disclaimers and disclosures. There's nothing on the page. So you got to look at it and say, okay, what period was this? So you can go back up and verify the numbers. So the $555,000 that $100,000 grows to in the S&P 500, boy, that looks really, really good. And then the treasuries go from 100 to 350, and the hypothetical index annuity goes to about 216. So the 555 was, I don't know, 8 or 10%. I think the 350 for the treasuries was about 5.5%. And the index annuity, 3.4%. Now we're going to look at something else real quick. So on the treasury chart, here's about that time period. And you can see ending in 2020, if you go like right at the low, so that's like in March. I couldn't get it all on one screen. So beginning in 1998, the 10-year treasury was 5.7%. And we saw a steady decline over time. If you know what happens to bond values in falling interest rate environments, you have an increasing value in the underlying bond, same as with treasuries. So what you get is you get the interest plus the increase in value over time. And an index annuity purchased in 1998 would have the same effect on a surrender basis, if you realize that, right? Now, right now, we've got 10% caps on the S&P 500, and the U.S. Treasury is about 3.9%. So if you would have gone back to 1998 and a 5.7% treasury, I've talked to guys that were selling them from the very beginning. These things came out in like 95, 96 or something like that. And then more and more companies around late 90s, early 2000s started to get them. cap rates on the S&P 500 back in 1998 would have been, and I've heard guys say 15, 16, 18% cap rates. So if you do a 3.4% yield over 20 years, I sold contracts in 2015 at the bottom of the interest rate market that did 3.4%. So that is selective editing and not representative of the overall time period. So you might have pretty good numbers for the S&P, but those might be pretty accurate. And I'll argue again, stopped right at the top. But so a selective time period used. Now, this is very interesting. And that's why I made you guys a little spreadsheet that you will see right here. Okay. So what I did is I took the market, the S&P 500 from 1998 through 2020, and 100,000 is going to grow to, down a little bit. Okay, I got 555,263. Now, I did have to back engineer this and calm down the return because I got something a little higher, like 570 maybe, but I wanted to use his numbers. We'll give him all the information, right? So not a bad return, but here's the first point. He doesn't work for free. And so I happen to know that the first $1 million under management is a 1.25% annual fee. So I got my spreadsheet ready and it shows you what the fee would have been. So you had 555 before, and now instead of 555, you got 415. The lost opportunity cost of paying a fee costs you more than $140,000. So then you have to understand, if he's saying the S&P is so good, why would I want to give up $140,000 in growth just to pay somebody to do it? That's the problem with doing something very simple. You have to ask yourself that question. Pay the fee. Well, the other thing that's not factored in is, like, we're talking about retirement planning again. I'm not talking about simply long-run investment performance. Now, if I had to choose whether I put money in the S&P 500 or an index annuity over the next 20 years, I'd probably take the S&P 500, but we're not talking about that. It's unrealistic. We're not talking about that in terms of retirement planning because you have withdrawals you need to take. You got to take income or you got to take required minimum distributions. Maybe you need to do some Roth conversions. You're taking money out. So let's say you take 5,000, pretty healthy withdrawal, but in this rate environment right now, we can project that pretty easily and you could have done the same thing then. A $5,000 withdrawal again. So this is where you look that you get only 4 years in, you're only at $72,000, right? It's the nervous factor. Your nerves get to you, right? Then in 2008, you go to 54. Very few people, if they're relying on income or if they're required to take money out. Now, an RMD, when you don't need the income, you can pull it out, pay the taxes, and reinvest it. So it's not a total loss on that one. An annuity still helps. But you get down to 110,000. We've got 23 years of withdrawals. That's 115,000 plus 110. So 100 to 150 or to 555, fees take it down to 415. And the 115 of withdrawals plus the 110 take it down to 225 is what you pull out of it. So this is where it's different. An annuity would have no doubt improved this portfolio. To what extent? I'm not sure. The problem with this scenario is it's a very favorable market period. Do you think we're going to have, in the next 23 years, do you think we're going to only have 5 negative years? That's a good question. If you do and you're bullish, go ahead, right? When you're talking retirement planning, you can't take those chances. It's totally different. I know a lot of people that work with Ken Fisher as well, and a lot of them have annuities with me. Don't take everything he says about annuities as gospel because it's a risk mitigation factor, okay? And that's what makes a difference. In this scenario, I could run the numbers and it's like probably 15, maybe 20% in an annuity would improve the total at the end, but it's hard to tell. It got kind of tricky in there, but it is possible to improve the portfolio with an annuity, and that's been covered in lots of different places. If you want to know where that is, go ahead and ask me. I've actually got one right here. I'll take 1 second to do this. It's called Why Not an Annuity, and I did it last year. So this guy, Why Not an Annuity, February 26, 2022. Dang, almost exactly a year ago. We took this guy, he was a Fisher Investments guy, and we pulled the past 20-year period. His 22-year period started in 1998, giving it a really nice bump. The end of the dot-com actually insulates that. I mean, that initial growth insulates the portfolio. It's much worse when you start off in a down point. But again, so this one explains how you use it. So this guy specifically, he was looking at a portfolio, or his portfolio was 100% in stocks at 73. He was taking required minimum distributions. We proved that having an annuity with an extremely minimal rate, Ken Fisher would have approved. I think I ran the annuity column at about 3%, maybe 3.5%, which is right along with his numbers, proved that having that improved his outcome over time. So special offer. Anyway, so you look for the disclaimers and disclosures. No, there's nothing in there. It's very general. And I guess I'd have to say this. If I had 160 billion in annuities under management, which I know will never get there, wouldn't it be fair to criticize any of the, you know, I put all my stuff out there for criticism. I get some. And I, that's why I try to disclaim and disclose everything. But I guess he's so big and insulated that people just take this. But again, read it, take it for what it's worth. I'm trying to set the record straight. So the most interesting part of this thing to me is, you know, it was clearly one of the best market periods in history. It was tail end of a 40, 50 year bull market in bonds and treasuries. Okay. So you look at the market projection, it doesn't mention anything about income, required distributions, or fees. I show you in the newsletter where that podcast was, why not an annuity? The last two points I want to make, he's looking at a general look at the S&P 500. I think if he had done better than that with his portfolio, he might have put up the average, you know, long-term growth portfolio for Fisher Investments, but I don't know. Maybe there's some compliance issues with that. I know you got to jump through a lot of hoops to put market-based information online. That's possible, but I think they've got a team that could handle that. Maybe he didn't beat the S&P 500. So, and then I look at it and say, well, he did just use the S&P 500. So he's saying that you don't need an index annuity for retirement. And he's also saying that you don't need him either. I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I like that opportunity. What do I do with the rest of the money? I don't know, S&P 500 index fund. Well, that's what one of the most famous investment managers of all time is saying. You don't need an annuity. You need the S&P 500. So I'll take it one step further and argue that you can probably use both and make it better. Proven it. We've looked at it over time. I run reasonable projections. I got a lot more information coming. It'll talk about some of the wild stuff you see in index annuities. I'm going to call out the wild stuff in the market, the selective editing, and the lack of thorough analysis on this subject. So annuities are great for retirement. They are for retirement. Stock market's good as well. I like both. There needs to be elements of the two in a retirement plan for it to be successful. Okay? So simple and easy. I appreciate everybody coming to listen to this on a weekly basis. If you have a topic, please share it with me. I've got a lot of great ideas for simple things that are effective. Hopefully, will help a lot of people based on recent meetings I've had. The point of this is to be as thorough as possible and answer your questions directly. This is a big one for me. I need to put it out there. This is my official take on the record. If you want to chat with me about it, you got a bone to pick, have at me. Or if you want to just, you know, chat about your situation, my number is 800-438-5121. You can guarantee your slot on my calendar by scheduling a call. Hit the schedule a call button at the top right corner of any page on annuitystraighttalk.com. Easy as that, I'll be there. Again, my name is Brian Anderson. This has been episode 77. Thank you so much for stopping by. I'll be back next week with another episode. You guys have a great day. Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with a qualified and licensed professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.